The WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange will plead guilty to a felony charge in a deal with the United States Justice Department that resolves a long-running legal saga that centered on the publication of a trove of classified documents. We have this report.
Come on, fire. It's this 2010 footage of a U.S. attack helicopter opening fire on civilians in Baghdad, including two Reuters news staff, that brought Julian Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks, into the crosshairs of the U.S. legal system. A freedom of information champion instrumental in the leak of 91,000 secret documents of the U.S. war in Afghanistan, Julian Assange's activism brought home the reality of some of America's most brutal military actions around the world. This included 4 lakh classified military files which chronicled the Iraq war, followed by the release of thousands of U.S. diplomatic cables with candid views of foreign leaders. As America and its closest allies closed in on Assange, WikiLeaks came under intense pressure. In October 2011, Assange told NDTV WikiLeaks could cease to exist.
It is a possibility that the establishment will win. It has been difficult for us over the last 11 months to have been removed from 95% of our donations and revenue. We have been surviving on cash reserves the last 11 months. But that's not a situation that can continue. If it does continue, then it is inevitable that sometime during next year, WikiLeaks will completely run out of money, and that will be the end of the organization.
By this time, though, the writing was already on the wall for Assange. For the next 14 years, he would be in a battle to fight for his freedom. Julian Assange is now headed to a court in Saipan, a U.S. Commonwealth island in the Pacific, where he may plead guilty on a single charge and then be released for time already spent behind bars. He then returned home to Australia. U.S. prosecutors say Assange did not want to travel to the continental United States. Vishnu Shom, NDTV.
Well, joining us now, Nicholas Nugent, the British journalist and former BBC editor, London. Thanks so very much for being with us. Does news of Assange being released surprise you, particularly since the U.S. had been pushing so hard to extradite him?
Well, of course, it surprised me like it surprised everyone because of the way it happened. Apparently, the result of a deal done last week, but only announced today or possibly last night. But no, I'm not surprised because there had been hints that the US was reconsidering its position, not least a remark dropped by President Biden that he was looking into it or he was considering some formula. And I think that gave us all a clue that the US was, I don't want to say bowing to public opinion, because clearly what's been going on are some quite protracted negotiations involving the US, the British and the Australian governments. So I think perhaps the pressure from other governments was more of a factor than public opinion. I'm guessing, of course, but that's how it looks to me. Those three governments have all been closely involved in this.
Just in terms of the conditions in which Assange was kept, a 2-by-3-meter cell, 23 hours a day, for years on end in the UK, it always makes it seem as if Julian Assange was some sort of a murderer. He was, in fact, a freedom of information campaigner. I mean, that's what he's always been.
You say some sort of a murderer. I thought you were going to say some sort of a martyr, because in a way he could be considered a martyr for the cause of free press. But I think the crucial factor here was that the British government were holding him in those conditions on behalf of the American government. After all, the British government never charged him with anything, and arguably he wouldn't have been guilty of anything if he'd appeared before a British court. But they held him on an extradition warrant from the United States. And I think that was causing a lot of embarrassment to the British government. You know, a total of I think, rather over 12 years he's been in some sort of custody, but 5 years in Belmarsh, which is a maximum security prison. So I think the British government were enormously frustrated at this, embarrassed at this, but they couldn't say so because they were doing what they were required to do by law. But the Australian government were not quite so constrained, and they did publicly call for his release and return to Australia. So that's why I'm arguing the case that the roles of both those two other governments were crucial in, frankly, getting the Americans to climb down. And we're already seeing that that's a highly political decision in America, with a lot of criticism of President Biden for letting this chap go free. It could even become an election issue in the United States, since the former vice president to President Trump was one of the first to criticize it. So we might hear Mr. Trump talking about it. I think it will be a factor in the American election.
The deal to get him out now and face a judge, on a U.S. island in the Pacific, how exactly does that work?
Well, this is extraordinary, isn't it? Most of us had to look up the North Mariana Islands on a map to know where they were.
Yeah.
I happen to be here in Bangkok at the moment, and that, of course, is where his plane has refueled. So right in the middle of the story, in a way. Quite extraordinary that the United States, in doing the deal with him, rather than have him fly through the United States, are giving him a lift, as it were, appearing in the South Pacific, in a court in the South Pacific, on his way home to Australia. So quite extraordinary. And think of the money involved, not just the cost of the flight, which we understand Mr. Assange is going to have to repay the Australian government, a substantial cost, but the cost of holding him in custody, in judicial custody in Britain for more than 5 years, would be quite substantial. And the cost of the various extradition proceedings, I've lost count. First, it was the Swedish government that wanted to extradite him, and then it was the United States government. And I think he's had at least three appearances, not just appearances, but at least three judgments on that. And the last one said he should be extradited to the United States, subject to certain conditions. And I think that's what put the ball back in the United States court, because they weren't sure they could handle those conditions. I don't know. Again, I'm guessing. We haven't really been told very much about this. But what we can see is that what started off as a judicial process has become a highly political issue involving three governments. And if we look back earlier, of course, there were two other governments, the Swedish government and the Ecuadorian government, where Assange took refuge in their embassy. So a major political issue. And I don't remember a case in my time when ostensibly judicial proceedings between countries, or at least involving extradition, have become so highly politically charged.
Mr. Nugent, what about the sexual abuse charges against Assange in Sweden? Very strong charges. How were they dropped? On what grounds?
Well, that's a mystery. Assange, of course, said they were a put-up job to try to get him to Sweden from where the US would extradite him more easily. That's what he says. We don't know. We simply don't know, because the charges from the Swedish government were brought more than once, I think twice altogether, and then dropped both times after the US intervened and put its own extradition request in. So, you know, there's so much history here and there's so much we don't know. In the meantime, of course, I should have mentioned this earlier, but there's been building this massive campaign in support of Assange for around the slogan of freedom of the press, freedom of the media. So what you really have here, and you've not resolved, is the United States' right to withhold information in the interests of security of the state, and we're referring particularly to information to do with its campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan, so quite a long time ago, and against that, the freedom of the press to publish material believed by it to be in the public interest. Now, that's completely unresolved. It's the United States that took the hard line declaring security was more important than freedom of the press. But as we can see, no other government has supported that. And indeed, several other governments, especially in Latin America, have opposed the United States position. So we've got the United States until today, until today, we had the United States government taking a hard line over its right to withhold information from the public, and a massive press campaign saying, no, freedom of the press and freedom of expression is in the greater public interest. And that campaign has won the open support of several governments.
Indeed.
So it a lot remains to be tried or tested. But of course, in the next few hours, it's all about putting this deal into effect. And the Assange campaign say they won't be sure it's all worked and the U.S. has been as good as its word until Assange actually arrives back a free man in Australia, probably later tomorrow.
Sure. And finally, sir, does WikiLeaks have a genuine future now?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think there's any doubt. Whether it can repeat the sensation of releasing that massive number of documents from U.S. security documents concerned with defense and activity overseas, well, that's a secondary question. But I don't think WikiLeaks is going to go away. It has a new chairman, I mean, one who took over from Julian Assange, and I think it will continue to bang the drum for the free media, and especially against the claimed rights of governments to withhold sensitive information, because it's only the government's word that the information it's withholding is sensitive. I mean, needed to be withheld in the interests of the safety of the nation. I mean, I've been a journalist long enough to have seen this issue come up time and time again, but never quite as dramatically as it did with the release of massive amounts of information in 2010 and the subsequent creation of WikiLeaks to sort of formalize the mechanism whereby such leaks take place. You could say it's a sort of test case for the role of the whistleblower, because in Britain it might have been the leaker who was charged, but here it was the publisher who was charged as well indeed as the leaker. So complicated issues here, but very, very interesting for those of us who work in the media.
Absolutely. Julian Assange presumably out for good after having struck this deal with the United States, but the details of this perhaps we'll never really know about. We'll have to wait and see.